There's an interesting link with the last verse of Judges and the first verse of Ruth. The last verse there said, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Verse 1 of the next chapter came to pass that a certain man, Elimelech, but it begins with this certain man, Elimelech. We're well acquainted with the passages of Scripture that teach us that the man is the head of the house and of the family. He is to take the directions from the Lord, and in turn, he's to apply that in his own home and in the family. And when the head, the one who is the responsible head, first of all before God, when he goes the downward path, he takes his wife and two sons with him. Practical lesson. We know the application for each one of us. The responsibility that the Lord has given us as heads of a household, of a home, of a house, with families. And so it's so easy to go along. We can understand Naomi. But the first thing then that we read that happened, where God begins to work and to seek to reach out, is in verse 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left, and her two sons. The one who had led them in the wrong way, death comes in. There's a principle there that the flesh works death. That is the result of it. And so she is made to realize this. Death has come in. That link is now severed. And now she is responsible to realize, to take a leading role. God is preparing her in this for that. And so we find this frequently in Scripture, when there's a breakdown and failure, where God begins restoring is with a woman. Deborah, for example, another case, and so on. And so none can be relieved of responsibility before God. But still, there are these lessons in here, these principles that we see. And when it says there's no king in Israel, I just make an application here. That was as far as the whole nation was concerned. Nobody was realized as the king. And it's later on when we find when the people asked a king in Samuel, from Samuel, he felt he was rejected. But God says, no, they haven't set you aside. They've set me aside, the true one who would guide the people. And when we think of how the Lord delivered them from Egypt, first of all, from the house of bondage, to bring them in this land of blessing where milk and honey flowed. And it's so hard to conceive that that land, so rich, flowing with milk and honey, became a land where famine was raging in that condition. And all is a result of that disobedience to the revealed will of God. Now, God's will is always made clear. He has a high purpose, a high standard. And what he intended, even with the nation of Israel, was to bring them into that land, but prophetically, it looks on to the only one who can bring them in, Joshua. He did not bring them into the rest, though in the book we find it, but then Hebrews tells us clearly that there remaineth a rest for the people of God, and it is only through great David's greater son where this will be introduced. But how good for us that the Lord has given us these lessons for us today, in order to prevent many of the pitfalls that there are along the way for us, if we but learn these lessons. And then I think to realize here that after he died, then we know that the two sons that were left, they took wives of the women of Moab, and there we find a further step down, and they also died. I stop there now. Others will want to fill in. But just this point, that great principle that God is showing, he brings death in to that scene. And this awakens something and prepares the way for bringing a test. We're bringing Ruth into the picture. And that is where God again, where sin abounded, grace did overabound. And that is what God is showing us.